Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because...
Other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is...
bombed out of his gourd.
All right! You asked for it, you didn't get any Saints Drunk History. This month... you get Kevin Held. Kevin?
Yep.
It's Saturday afternoon. We're drunk. I'm getting there. We're going to do a bunch of episodes together. It's fun. So people are digging it, but they're like, man, you got to do, could you do some fun stuff? Because like we did the NFC Championship with Dave. That's kind of the only fun one we did. So this episode, we're doing like two mini things. We're doing the 2009 Saints versus Patriots, and then we're going to do the River City Relay, which is a whole other ball of wax. But let's start with the 2009 Monday Night Saints game against New England. Kevin, I think it's one of the most underrated pantheon things the Saints have ever done. Now, I know it can't compare with the emotion of Steve Gleason in 06, and it can't compare with winning the Super Bowl, but goddamn, it might be like right behind all three. And it might be the best the Saints ever looked in the Superdome ever in my lifetime, as like just playing football, kicking someone's ass.
Yes, and it was in it was prime time. It was a Monday night game, and it was against Belichick and Brady that everybody just, you know, loves, and they smoked them. I mean, by halftime, you could argue the game. I don't know if you would say necessarily the game was over at halftime, but the game was in hand. I mean, the Saints made Belichick sit Tom Brady for like what, the last 8 minutes of the game?
Yeah.
Like Bill Belichick, I can't recall him waving the white flag like he did in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, this was an absolute drubbing of a team that everybody heralds and loves, and justifiably so. They've got the credentials for it, but this was the team of Destiny Saints just saying, yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's interesting is, you know, the Saints went into the game, they were 10-0. It was like after Thanksgiving, and the crowd was hyped, and it was still the Saints. You know, now we look at it and we're like, back then, you know, Drew Brees, he was good, but people weren't like, oh my god, Drew Brees is a top three quarterback. The Saints were having an awesome year, but New England was 7-3 going into the game, and the Saints were 10-0. That's three games, but it's not like it's not like New England was 5-5 or whatever. I mean, there was still a lot of, oh, it's New England, they'll beat the Saints. They're the Saints. They're a fraud, whatever. And New England.
I don't know if I would go so far as to say. I mean, maybe other people might have thought fraud, but I think after the Saints got to maybe like 6 or 7-0, I remember maybe we were talking about, you know, can they run the table? Can they go undefeated? But I know that we were all looking at this game and thinking, okay, this could be a tough one. And honestly, there were times even before the game even happened where I thought, okay, if they lose this one, it's not going to be the end of the world. Yeah, it'll be like a bummer or whatever, but you know, whatever. Like the Redskins game, I keep thinking of because I think they were losing that one. And maybe the Dolphins game. And it's just like, okay, you know, nobody goes undefeated. Nobody runs the table the whole time. So whatever, it's still a good team. But
hey,
I mean, honestly, coming into the game, I felt confident. But not like running in saying, oh my god, they're going to win. But I just felt very confident. I was like, yeah, why shouldn't they win?
Yeah, they were only a point and a half favorite in that game. And I was like, man, that's a point and a half. But the energy for that game, I remember let me check the date as my strawberry shiner is starting to kick in. It makes the computer hard to move. So it was November 30th, so it was like right after Thanksgiving. So me and my wife had come, and like the crowd in that game, it had a great energy, and the thing that I remember most about that game was just, I mean, Drew Brees is quarter. I mean, the quarterback rating for Brees and that, like I hate to say peak because peak means it's like a made up word and like you can't like, but like that was the best the 2009 Saints ever fucking were, Kevin. Brees was 158.3, and that to me, that's like, I know he was great in the Super Bowl and other games, but that one game, I mean, 158.3 is literally a perfect fucking rating. And 18 of he threw 23 times for 371 yards for 5. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. When I look back at the number and I saw that he threw, where the hell, where's the number at? When I saw that the total passing yardage, I thought, okay, he had to have hit like 33, 34, 35 pass attempts. No, just 23.
Yeah, the Saints only, they threw it 23 times and they ran it 24 times. Like, the balance truthers are going to be out there and be like, you see, that's balance. They hardly had any plays, man. They had Devery Henderson hit a huge play, and Pierre Thomas had a long. But probably the thing that is so like the thing that people I think remember most about that game is just their secondary, which has kind of been a Saints tradition for the last decade. Is their secondary was devastated with injuries, and they were signing guys off the. They brought back Mike McKenzie. They signed Chris McAllister, who I think was, and this is an accurate, 150 years old, Kevin. And they both had interceptions.
Darren Sharper and Mike McKenzie did.
Yeah. So
Chris McAllister had a tackle in this game. he had as many tackles in the game as Courtney Roby. And other such luminaries as Troy Evans and Linnell Hamilton.
Oh, I remember my WWL column for that. I made a joke about they were going to bring Sam Mills back the next week, and they were like, you can't say that because Sam Mills is dead. I'm like, but it's not mean. It's true. We can just bring back Sam Mills and Ricky Jackson, and it'll be fine. They're like, no, you can't say that. But, I mean, you know, not to get a touch on the whole 2009, and it – I don't think that made it a moment of, to me, that it was like, this is the moment of destiny. But walking out of the stadium, the jubilation and all that, I turned to my wife and I said, if the Saints don't win the fucking Super Bowl this year, I don't know that they're ever going to win it. Like, this team's unbelievable. Like you knew, like, I knew, walking out of the stadium, this is the best Saints team probably I'm ever going to see in my lifetime. And, like, I wasn't, like, nervous or worried that they weren't going to win. I was excited. I was like, this is what I've been waiting my whole fucking life for. This 2009 juggernaut that just smashed the measuring stick of the NFL into pieces. And Bill Belichick, literally the last 8 minutes when he was down 3-0, he went, no mas, we're done. Like,
he put in Brian Hoyer.
Oh my God!
Brian Hoyer was the backup.
Oh my God!
Brian Hoyer. Actually, try and guess who led the Patriots in receiving that night.
Welker?
No.
No. Who led him in receiving?
Welker had the second most receptions. He was third in total. He was third in receiving yards with 32.
Oh my God.
Your leading receiver on the night for the Patriots, Sam Aiken.
Who the fuck? I thought that was a beard. Exactly. I thought that was a beard.
He had seven catches, 90 yards.
Oh my God. You could.
Randy Moss, 3 catches, 67 yards.
You could have let me guess Patriot players for the next 35 years. I wouldn't have guessed Sam Aiken if I wouldn't have cheated, I wouldn't have guessed that. Like, that name, I didn't even know he played for the fucking Patriots. Like, I don't think any non-Patriot fan could get that answer right if you gave him $1 million. Like, if we were playing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and I did, like, phone a friend, and they couldn't use the internet, I'd be like, I don't think there's any, I don't know, I bet you a Patriot fan might have a hard time with that. They'd probably get at like three or four tries, but where do you think the 2009 Patriot, where does it rank in like the pantheon of
I mean
moments?
This is a top three regular season win. Top three regular season win, and I only say that because I'm sure there's a win. Like, I would probably throw the Falcons Monday Night Football game with the Gleason block punt. I would probably throw that ahead of this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's another game where maybe they clinched the playoff, like a playoff thing first time. I don't know.
Now, I mean, 80,
I don't know.
1990, they won on New Year's Eve against the Rams, but that got them to 8-8, and they clinched a playoff spot. But I mean, like, there's like nothing memorable about like more. They had to like pull it out their ass to beat a bad Rams.
Okay,
team.
So but at the worst, at worst. Yeah. This is the third, at worst, this is the third best regular season game
in team
history, and at best, it's number two.
Yeah, I mean, you can't top Gleason. You just can't because
no,
it's the motion and the statue and the significance of it. You can't top. But I mean, I would say it's third, and I would say if you want to put any game where you were like the Saints played better at home, I don't think there's a game that you can put that's better that where this the New Orleans Saints played a better game start to finish than this game. Like, you could say the Gleason game is more famous and it means more and it's more emotion, but Saints didn't. I mean, they played great that game too, but they didn't beat the measuring dynasty of the reigning dynasty of the NFL 38-17 and have their quarterback be literally fucking perfect. You know,
yeah.
So that's the 2009 game, which is just a great moment. Now we're going to talk about the moment. It's the 2003. It's we call it the River City Relay. It's a play. The Saints. If you're a Saints fan, you know what it is. But Kevin, I used to joke before 2009 that if you had to sum up being a Saints fan in 30 seconds, and you couldn't use words to describe it, you would just go to YouTube and play the River City Relay and be like, this is what it means to be a Saints fan. It's hysterical. It's sometimes great. It can be euphoric. But in the end, it breaks your heart. And like the River City Relay, I think before 2009 or before 2006, let's say, before the Breeze era, it perfectly encapsulates everything it is to be a fucking Saints fan.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, the funny thing, you know, the funniest thing about the thing that I almost remember most about that game is when I worked at WWL Radio, my first day producing Buddy D's show was the Monday after that game. And I went in and I'm like, new man, I don't know Buddy Dan. I'm just like, Buddy, where does this rank on the, oh my God, I can't believe the Saints did that scale. He's like, I don't even know. This is the Saints. This is what they do. This is who they are. He's like, I can conceive of things in the 70s. And he told us, he's like, but this is, I don't even have words. He's like, I don't even know, like, where do we start? I'm like, I don't even fucking, like, I guess I'm looking at it on YouTube. I guess the play itself, Kevin, is it's just an end of the game play that 9 out of 10 times you're like, what are you doing, Saints? You gotta go down there and score a touchdown, and you gotta get out of bounds, Dante Starr, so you can run another play, and it just sort of like spirals into madness. I don't even know. Like, what's your thoughts on the actual play itself?
Right. So, like, I'm looking at it, and I guess in my own head. So, all right. So here's what was happening at the time. I'm living at home. Yeah, it's 2003. Yeah, so I'm living at home still, and I was watching the game and I was just like, just, you know, they're not, I'm in the fourth quarter. I'm going to go outside and cut the grass and you guys can just watch the game. I don't care, whatever. Yeah. So I'm outside cutting the grass and sweating my ass off. Well, actually, was I? Yeah, I was still somehow sweating my ass off, even though the game was in December. My brother comes running outside and he says, "Kevin, they scored! Kevin, they scored! They scored! They're about to tie the game!" I was like, "Wait,
so he didn't even get to see, to enjoy it."
No, so I didn't really see it in real time. So I go inside for the extra point attempt. I'm like, "All right, this will be fun." And fucking John Carney just shanks it.
How can he do that? With like the greatest.
How can he do that? Like, I mean, the Jim Henderson call, that's gonna live in eternity. But like the play itself, like I've gone back and rewatched it, but in my like the last time I'm rewatching it now, in my head, I could have sworn more players touched
the ball
yeah. than just four.
Yeah.
Like it's basically Brooks to Stallworth.
Who, by the way, I was wrong. Stallworth made the right play. He wasn't going to be able to get out of bounds. That's not how I remembered it. Like, I thought he could have just, like, stepped out. But no, he couldn't have. So he was absolutely right to do what he did, which was a great run. The thing where it gets really weird is the Deuce play. Because by then, like, the whole Jacksonville team is just surrounding Deuce, you know? And by the way, Jerome Pathon, he might need induction into the Saints Hall of Fame for this.
At the very least, I almost feel like Jerome Pathon needs he shouldn't have to pay for a beer in the city status. Yeah. So, Stallworth laterals to Lewis, pitches it, who then pitches it back to Deuce McAllister, who then pitches it across the field, seemingly, to Jerome Pathon. Like Deuce just throws it up into the air, essentially, and out of nowhere, there's Jerome Pathon, yeah. Boop, there.
Yeah.
Aaron Brooks hustles and makes a block, and Jerome Pathon scores, and that's one of those plays of destiny that I remember you talking about during the 09 season. It's like, teams of destiny always get either the lucky bounce or the lucky deflection or the lucky call.
Yeah.
This seemed like one of those things. Like, oh my God, this is going to happen. They're going to kick the extra point. They're going to win in overtime. They're going to somehow win next week and make the playoffs. And instead, John Carney was just like, "Yeah, guys, listen, I got a cruise.
He's like, Fletcher.
I got a cruise scheduled for early January.
I got a thing. Yeah. The funny thing with that is, before Pathon even crossed the goal line, like, the Saints were eliminated. So, like, if they'd have made the extra point and won the game and beat Dallas next week and gone 9-7, like, it wouldn't have meant shit. Which would have kind of summed up the Hazlitt Saints perfectly. It's like, yeah, they did that miracle play that beat Jacksonville, and it didn't mean shit because they underachieved constantly. In the pantheon, it's got to be the gold standard for, like, Saints heartbreak, maybe. I mean, I know it's not as meaningful, maybe, as, like, the 2011 San Francisco game where you say, like, fuck Vernon Davis. It doesn't have that kind of meaning, but, man, it's got to be the gold standard for like, heart, like...
Again, I go back, I mean, we're talking about it for a reason, so it's definitely... It's definitely like top three. I would put the NFC playoff game ahead of it.
Yeah.
I would probably put this. I tell you what, regular season. Yes. A regular season. I would say this is number one, and number two, I would probably say is the game. Which one was it? Where Hazlitt brought Brooks back too early, and they proceeded to lose the last however many games.
Yeah, we'll get into that. I was gonna say probably the number one play, which is sort of just lost to history because it's so long ago. I mean, it's basically 1983. What is that like? It's like 35 years. 34 years ago, right? there's a play, and they played the Saints played the Rams in the Superdome, and they were 8-7. If they win, they get the last wild card spot, and they were winning the game 24-23, and the Rams had 4th-and-27 at the end of the game with like 45 seconds left, and Vince Ferragamo completed the pass, and they drove down, and Lansford kicked the field goal. I would say that play, which is sort of like lost to eternity because it's not famous, it's just two shitty teams playing for a playoff spot. I would say that play would be number one, which, oh my God, we might need to do a – I need to find somebody. If somebody's listening to this podcast and you have like an old VHS tape of the 83 game, the whole entirety, I don't have it. I have some pieces of it. If you have it, you come on Drunk History with me. We'll talk about the 83 Saints because the 83 Saints are fucked up in the weird ways that people don't remember. But I would say that would be number one. But the River City Relay, man, you mentioned.
Are you okay? Are you okay?
I'm not okay. I'm not okay, man. I to be fair, I'll tell the people we do this, and I was planning to get drunk nice and slow all afternoon, but my kid is sick with like a ear infection and all, so like my wife took him out and I had to get drunk really quick, so I drank like 3 beers and did like two shots to like get it going, and it's one of those things where like I'm not in my early 30s anymore where you can't like to get drunk really quick like and feel great and it works. Like now I'm old, so like it hits me really hard, like the 3 beers and the 3 shots, and I'm like, oh fuck. But this is what the people want, Kevin. They want us to be drunk and fall apart, right? So I totally lost my train of thought, but as we get to the end of this, this play, I mean, like, I would say, like, it's not terrible because at least it didn't mean anything, Kevin. At least it wasn't the fucking Atlanta in the Super Bowl 28-3. You know, so it eventually can be funny, like Atlanta blowing the 20.
Oh, no, it is funny.
It's funny. But like, if it would have been like go to the Super Bowl or like a playoff game, like then it would then you'd like never get over it. You know, like
right.
Like Atlanta's never going to be like in 10 years. Like, ha ha! Remember when we lost the game? Remember when we went in the Super Bowl 28-3, and we lost? Like that's like you're never gonna be like, ha ha! That's really funny. Like the River City. Like now we look back at it, and it's like, it's kind of Saintsy, kind of like the most Saints moment you could have. We look at it, and it's a chuckle. But I think,
yeah. I would honestly say it started to become funny within just a few years.
Yeah, like, and the thing is, like, we need to talk,
it was funny before the Saints won the Super Bowl.
Oh, dude, it was probably, like, we must have played the call that day on Buddy D, like, about a dozen times. Like, the call of Henderson, and I don't say this because we worked with and all that, but Henderson as a home radio announcer is so pitch perfect in that... You know that he wants the Saints to win, and you know that he's a homer, and he's the Saints radio guy, so he's rooting for the Saints. But he's also like honest and doesn't sugarcoat anything.
So, right, he's not Hawk Harrelson for doing the White Sox play by play or anything like that.
Yeah, so like his call is just pitch perfect in that he doesn't say he missed it. It's not like a down the middle call trying to be objective, and it's not like just a ranting and raving being angry. It's just sort of this, and I know I hate to bring this, but I feel like Chris Cornell, when he recently passed, the thing that made him so great was he made like sadness and darkness, like, beautiful. That's what Henderson did. Like, it's this sadness and melancholy on the call that's just so...
No. Well, wait a minute. Wait. Who was doing the... Who was the other guy in there? Was it Hokie?
It had to be Hoagie, right?
Was Hoagie doing it in 2003?
If it wasn't Hoagie, who was it? Was it had to have been Hoagie, right?
Well, just because Hoagie's the one that just goes and he missed it. Like he just flat out goes and he missed it, and if before he can even finish that sentence, Henderson is just screaming, "No!"
Which you wouldn't think at all, like, because Hoagie was great, and he had all his great sayings and his comedy sayings, and he was all, you know, that call is so perfect. They need to have Jim Henderson do a TED Talk on that call. It's so perfect. I would say that, like, how much do you think that call over time helps us laugh at? I think that the Henderson call immediately gave it comic effect in a way.
I think viral sound bites like that can sort of have like a cathartic feeling over time, like Allen Iverson's, you know, saying the thing about practice, Denny Green saying, you know, we let him off the hook.
Yeah. The Mora-isms.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Basically everything Jim Mora ever said. I mean, maybe one or two things that Ditka said, you know,
Ditka in 2009, when they were just completely falling apart. That was high comedy, his press conferences.
You mean 99?
99, yeah, that's how drunk I am. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Ditka. So
seriously, if you'd have told somebody I know this is completely not on the subject, but whatever. If you'd have told somebody in 1999 that, hey, 10 years from now, this team's going to actually win the Super Bowl.
You'd have been like, my ass.
They'd have had you committed.
They'd have had. Dude, if you'd have told somebody in 99, dude, next year, man, Saints are winning their first playoff game ever. They'd have been like, get that dude to Bellevue. He has lost his fucking mind. And yet they did it, which we'll get on to that in a podcast coming up real soon. So anyway, thanks to everybody for donating. This has been phenomenal. Until next month, be well.
Thanks to all of our Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations made Drunk Saints history possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.